There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people to see if we could become something more. So when they needed us, we could fight the battles
that they never could.
To Infinity War and beyond.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Today, we are going to be talking about Spider-Man Far From Home. This is the latest installment in the MCU franchise, and it's also ending off Phase 3 for the MCU, also, I believe, being known as the Infinity Saga. Today, I am joined by Jacob to talk about the movie. I'm just going to throw out a quick spoiler alert, as this movie did just recently come out. So if you haven't seen it, we will be talking about the whole movie. So go watch it if you want to before you come back and listen to this. So, like I said earlier, I am joined by Jacob.
Hello.
And we're going to be diving into Spider-Man Far From Home today. So I guess just to start us off, what did you think about the movie, in general?
I thought all around it was a pretty good movie. I still think Homecoming was better, but I don't know. In this movie, it showed Spider-Man's weaknesses. It shows that he's broken in a sense.
Mm-hmm. This movie was definitely kind of trippy during some parts with Mysterio's illusion tech that he uses. It was very weird and really played with Peter's mind. And he was already dealing with a bunch of stuff anyways, which is, I think, one of the first topics I want to get into. Peter was, definitely not himself throughout most of this movie. Definitely, due to the fact that he was dusted or part of the blip, as they called it in the movie. So he missed 5 years of his life, but not really because he's still the same age. It's all weird. It was weird, but, he was part of the dusted group. He lost Tony, who was, a father figure to him and a mentor to him. And so he's really trying to, get back to where he was. And he's definitely finding that really hard. What do you think about that whole situation of the whole dusted thing? Waking up and it being 5 years later, but you're the same age. Some of your friends are 5 years older. How do you think that could affect you?
Oh no, I'd be confused. I would obviously be shook a little bit, and
me too.
I'd be asking a lot of questions and really observing what's going on, and what has changed since I was gone. Otherwise, that I don't really know how I would react. It'd just kind of be life goes on. Yeah. I'm still the same age.
I think it would definitely be hard to adjust. I don't know if you remember it in Endgame when Ant-Man or Scott came back from the, what was it called?
The dimension thing?
Yeah, the micro realm or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it's called. He was walking down the street and there was piles of garbage, cars left, just kind of at the side of the street. One of the shots, there was a bunch of boats huddled up in a harbor. So there's definitely been what I would consider kind of generic apocalypse sort of stuff, where it's just garbage laying around, old cars are just left here, food is just
around.
It's just kind of crazy. So I feel like it would be hard to get the world back to what it was. And I mean, considering, I would think a lot of world leaders might have dusted, and when they come back, there might be people that are now in their place. If you get dusted from a certain job, coming back, and I feel like it would be hard to regain. Me too. It would be hard to get back up on your feet.
Yeah.
So definitely. Want to talk about our new villain in the MCU, Mysterio, or Quentin Beck, as he kind of went by until Spider-Man gave him his kind of super villain name. He started out the movie pretending to be a superhero, you know, getting Peter's trust and Nick Fury's trust and Maria Hill's, and just, you know, trying to gain everybody's trust so that he could go forward with, you know, his super villain plan. And I mean, from a villain, if you're thinking like a villain, I guess that's a very smart tactic. You know, mm-hmm. if everybody trusts you, it's going to be easier to, you know, kind of go behind their backs and, you know, get the things you need or want for your plan.
Yeah, no, I thought he was really smart. I don't know, like some of his powers, like when he was fighting off like those fake elements. And I was seeing, like, what his powers, like, the machine gave him, like, his suit. That was kind of cool. I don't know, all around, I wasn't really impressed with this villain. Because, like, I don't know, there's better villains in the MCU. I thought his character outside of Mysterio was kind of boring, to a sense. Because, like, he's just some bum that no one listens to in the science industry. And was always behind Tony Stark. Like, he really has nothing good. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he's kind of bummy.
I think he was definitely good in the sense that he really played with people's minds and, you know, used his illusion tech to literally create a disaster.
That was
And I think, like, you know, it was cool to watch, obviously. If it was real life, I'd be terrified. But I think he was definitely doing, I guess, in his eyes, the right thing, you know, to be a supervillain. Yeah. Like, he was playing with people's minds, he was causing destruction, he was, you know, hurting people, he was getting what he wanted. He was really embracing, I guess, all of the parts of being a villain. And I honestly, he seemed like he was a good guy at the beginning.
Yeah, in the beginning, he seemed like he was good. But that was, like, but I already found out before that he was turning bad.
Yeah.
But, all around, it was, like, he was an okay villain, like, I don't know. Just like when he was like Quentin Beck, it was kind of cool to see. Like, I thought he was gonna be like a Spider-Man's like mentor kind of thing.
Yeah,
like replacement. But then when I seen his jealousy over Tony Stark, I was like, oh, this guy's gonna die.
Yeah.
Like first movie, and there's gonna be no point of having him.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't the best villain that we've seen. You know, talking about his illusion sort of tech throughout all of the times that he like played with Spider-Man's mind using his illusion. I believe he called it his illusion tech. You know, Spider-Man never knew 100% what was real and what was fake. So how do you know what's real?
Like what is real?
Yeah, what is real?
Describe the word real.
Like, real? I don't know.
Oh,
like,
okay,
how would you, like, I guess, how would you describe real then?
Something that I can touch, something that's like not made up. I don't know, like something that moves, or like, I don't know, something like that's like 3D, that like
a physical thing.
Yeah, something physical is real. Yeah, stuff along those lines.
So how would you know if, based on what you describe as real, how do you know what is real? And how would you kind of, I guess, figure out?
I would ask myself like questions, like, I don't know, like, a lot of the things that, like, people get faked, that, like, people, like, get faked out on is, like, things that sound really, really good, but don't have a, like, something that's really good, but they don't have, like, a burden that's, like, dragging it, you know, like, I don't know, like, those, like, 2-for-1 sales, you know, it's, like, you gotta buy that one in order to get that, so it's, like,
yeah.
It really is, like, if they're drawing even, like, I'd ask myself those kind of questions, like, if it's a negative, then, like, is it gonna make my life bad?
Yeah.
Like, that was what I would see, like, if it was real, if it wasn't, like, Spider-Man, if I was, like, Spider-Man in that situation, I would, like, I don't know, but in the end, he did.
Yeah, he was able to kind of, you know,
with his senses. So I just use my mind.
Yeah, I think, you know, stuff like playing with people's minds is something that even happens, you know, in real life, sometimes in people's, like, day-to-day lives. If you think about it, technically, watching a superhero movie, you know, obviously, you know, I'm 19 years old, you're 16, like, we look at movies, we know that it's fake, but, you know, for some children, if they're going to watch a Marvel movie, they think that Iron Man is real.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, like, that's so cool. Superheroes are real. You know, that's technically playing with their mind, because they're being led to believe, in a sense, that that is real.
Yeah, I also feel like the movies today still play with, like, our minds. Like, when Black Widow died, you're, like, a little upset. So it's still, like, plays with your mind. It plays with your emotions, right? Like, even though you know the actor of Black Widow is not dead, just the fact that, like, Black Widow's dead.
Yeah,
You know, it's, like, regardless of, that was, like, the same with, like, Iron Man. When he died, I was, like, sad. Like, but, like, it's, like, I know, like, he's not actually dead. It's just, like, it's the fact that, like, character. So it does play with your, like, emotions, like.
Yeah, and even, you know, for something like that, too, like, you know, watching Endgame and seeing, you know, Natasha die or seeing Tony die, in the moment, you're, like, I'm never going to see them again. You know, these are all just movies. I can go back and watch every MCU movie and see Iron Man in another, what is it? Flip. He was in nine or ten of them.
1, 2, 3, like, Avengers.
Yeah, he's, you know, been in a bunch. Natasha's been in a bunch, like, you know. And
when she's getting a prequel.
Yeah, the new Black Widow movie that's coming out next year. Can't wait. You know, I'm going to be seeing her again. So it's not like, you know, watching a character die is going to be the very last time I'm going to see that character and see that actor. But yeah, a lot of, you know, movies do it, and that's more, you know, on the, you know, not harmful side of it.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, people that, you know, deal with it in a harmful way.
Yeah, like,
you know, in their daily lives. Exactly. Stuff like, you know, where their own mind is trying to trick them with mental health and, you know, with person to person. Like, there's a lot of that is real. And it was definitely portrayed visually very stunning. Like, I don't know, visually it just looked very cool to see, like, the green smoke and, you know, Iron the like dead, half-dead Iron Man. It was, it was like visually very cool, you know, to see. But now thinking about it, it's like, you know, that's kind of scary. Like, you know, if I'm imagining myself in Peter's scenario, if I was him, like, you know, seeing that would be so, like, trippy and would be so hard to, like, you know, once you're out of that, you'd be like, you know, so this movie definitely, you know, really touched on, you know, kind of what is real and how do you tell the difference between it and, you know, mental manipulation and stuff. And it was pretty cool. I think that's really kind of the first time we've seen it as a main
part of a movie, in the MCU.
Yeah, we've definitely seen it with, like, I guess, no, we've seen it in the first Avengers with, like, Loki using the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was kind of looked over, like, they were just kind of like, yeah, okay, like, you know, they're being mind controlled, which is a bit different, but, you know, playing with people's minds. Whereas this one, it was kind of like, you know, a focus of, you know, Spider-Man having his down moments in the movie and using that to be better and do better.
Yeah.
Speaking of doing better, at the end of the movie, by the end of the movie, we see Spider-Man pretty much doing the same thing that Tony did when he was building his Iron Man suit. He was building his own Spider-Man suit, which I think was pretty cool. The red and the black, I think, was a good combination. Sick. He got a look from Happy, which, you know, when I watched the movie, it seemed like it was something, you know, like a, oh, this looks familiar sort of look. Like, he definitely, like, seen, you know, Tony in what Peter was doing.
He's seen Tony in Peter.
Yeah. He's seen Tony in Peter, which throughout the whole movie, you know, Peter was like, am I supposed to be the new Iron Man? Like, I'm not ready for it. Oh, maybe I am. No, I can't do it. You know, nobody can live up to him. Like, he was kind of going back and forth. And, you know, he was thinking that maybe he was supposed to find the next Iron Man, which, you know, he thought he did with Mysterio. So my next question is, do you think Peter or Spider-Man needs to be the quote-unquote next Iron Man? And why or why not?
No, I don't think he needs to be the next Iron Man. He should be Spider-Man. It shouldn't be, like, Peter Stark, right? It should be Peter Parker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he should be himself. But as leadership, I feel like now that Tony Stark is gone, now he needs to step up a little bit more, as every other hero does now. Right? Like, it's not just him. But, like, I feel like his leadership needs to start, like, becoming a leader. And you could see that he's becoming a leader as the movies go on.
Yeah.
But, like, to be the next Tony Stark, at the end of the movie, they already, like, kind of made it that way with what's happening. I'm pretty sure we'll get into that for the details or whatever. But, yeah, no, so I think he's going to become the next Tony Stark. But it's going to be a different, like, different way.
Yeah, I think it'll definitely... I don't think Spider-Man needs to drop his spider... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he doesn't need to drop his spider suit, get into an Iron Man suit. I think he still needs to be himself, but he can kind of take on the role that Iron Man had. Now, at one point you said you feel that, you know, like every other superhero has, like, stepped up, you feel that he should too. Do you think that he needs to? Like, is that something that he has to do? Because if you remember, like, most of the other leaders, the other superheroes are, you know, full-blown adults, whereas he's still, I think, 16 or 17 years old.
Yeah. See, my thing is, like, I feel like some of the heroes are going to need to, like, step up more that he's gone. But I feel like if you're a hero, like, you know what the responsibilities are.
Yeah.
And you're aware of them. And it's like, 16, 17, or 25, 30, doesn't matter to me. It's like, you know the role that you play, and it's like, you do it. Like, I don't know, even in real life, lives are stressful, but, like, you have to play your part. You need to do your role. You know, like, regardless of what age you are, you have responsibilities. Shit, like, even though his is, like, really high, like, if he didn't want to be a superhero, he wouldn't have got with Iron Man.
Well, not in that way.
Man, no, like, he wouldn't have been with Iron Man. Like, he wouldn't have accepted Iron Man's mentoring.
Yeah.
You know, like, he knew what he wanted to do. And I just feel like, I'm not criticizing him.
Yeah.
But I feel like in the movies, they will make his leadership stand out more than any other heroes, probably.
Yeah, I think he definitely feels like he has to prove himself. And he feels, at least definitely by the end, he's like, you know, I have to be more responsible. I mean, there's a whole, I'm pretty sure it's a Spider-Man quote, like, you know, with great power comes great responsibility.
That's the biggest quote of all Spider-Man history.
So I think he's starting to kind of live by that. Do you think he deserves a break? Because throughout the whole movie, like, he wanted to go on the trip to Europe to catch a break. Do you think he deserves one?
Yeah, if Nick Fury could get his break, so does he. He doesn't have, like, your like, godly powers like Thor. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And Thor takes breaks, and he's a god. So it's like...
Endgame.
Yeah, it's like this puny human. Well, my favorite hero. Yeah, it's like he deserves a break because he literally just saved Europe. Saves America.
Yeah, I think having, I guess, quote-unquote, that... I mean, it's not really a job because I don't think they get paid. But, like, you know, it's kind of like their job, being superheroes... Mm-hmm. I feel like it would be hard to catch a break. And I think that Peter didn't really understand that at the beginning. Nick, like, snuck into his room.
Shot
Ned with a tranquilizer. And, you know, he's still like, oh, like, you know, I'm here to have fun. Like, I'm here with my class. Like, you know, I'm not here to fight evil. He even planned on leaving his Spidey suit at home.
So Aunt May
packed it. Was like, oh, you forgot this, like, lol. So I think he doesn't fully understand that it's going to be hard to catch a break, but I think, just like, you know, any other person, like, he deserves a break because he's definitely you know, flying around cities saving a bunch of people.
All the heroes do, they just can't.
Yeah, well, as like you said, some can.
Well, Black Widow has a nice break.
Yeah, like, in her back.
And so does Tony Stark. He's got a nice break now. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, like, I'm serious, no, like, they know they're not going to get a proper break.
Yeah. They can't just call for, like, vacation days.
Yeah, like, he literally tried to have a vacation day, but couldn't.
Nope. They ended up going to Prague.
Fought drones. Like, what? Me too.
Another thing this movie really touched upon, which I believe we talked about in the last podcast, is, you know, kind of dealing with losing somebody.
Oh, yeah, we did.
for this movie, obviously, you know, I mean, a lot of people lost their families during the blip. But the main loss that they were talking about was, you know, Peter with Tony, as he was like a father figure. He was a mentor, you know, a boss. Like, he played a lot of roles in Peter's life, and his death really, really affected him. So if you could give, I guess, you know, advice to Peter on how he can, like, you know, live with the fact that Tony's, you know, not around anymore, kind of, mm-hmm. what would you say, or, you know, what would your advice, or?
I don't know, use the loss as, like, motivation. So, like, make it, like, I don't know, like, make it, like, to where, like, you're doing this for that person. And it's like the effectiveness for that is so big, because like you like, I don't know, for me it's like, I don't know, like I lost some people. So when I like say that I'm doing it for them, it's like you do it like extra hard. Like it's, yeah. it's the only thing that matters in that moment. So it's like if you just focuses on not trying to be him, but to make him proud.
Yeah. Work in
and
his...
And work, like...
In his for, shadow.
Yeah, and, yeah. Like by living a good life and being a good hero, by doing that, he would, like, honor what Iron Man was telling him. So yeah. I feel like just living as Iron Man, like, mentored.
Yeah. I think, you know, it's hard losing anybody that's close to you, whether it be your cousin or, you know, a close friend, or even, you know, in cases, you know, a pet.
Yeah.
But with Peter, you know, Tony was like a father to him, you know. Mm-hmm. We all know the Spider-Man stories. He didn't, you know, parents are gone, Uncle Ben's gone, you know, it's only Aunt May. So Tony was Peter's father figure, his boss, his mentor, somebody he was extremely close to. So, you know, I think with dealing with a loss like that, definitely give yourself time to grieve, because if you just try to push through it and be like, no, like, you know, I have to walk outside with a smile on my face, I have to, you know, be strong, it's going to just be worse when you eventually break. So give yourself time to grieve. You know, if you want to still work during that time, like, sure, but, you know, don't force yourself to go extra right away.
Yeah.
Give yourself that time to, you know, to honestly to cry, to be sad. It's emotions are there to be felt, so don't, yeah, like try to push them away. And then I actually really like what you said, like, you know, when you're doing things in the future, you know, and you're trying to do it for that person, go that extra mile and really prove, yeah, like, you know, although, you know, in this case, although Tony is gone, the work that I'm doing almost makes it seem like he's still here.
Cool. Yeah.
And yeah, so I think, yeah, just remember, just because you lose somebody doesn't mean it's the complete end.
Yeah.
Like, it's definitely a chapter of a book that's closing,
yeah,
but there's, you know, 10 more chapters that are next, or however,
yeah,
many chapters. But yeah, definitely give yourself time to grieve, and, you know, when you're able to work after that, like, you know, definitely do your best to show what the other person has done, and, you know, prove that what the other person has done is, you know, worthy to be seen and everything.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'd say to Spider-Man.
So, Peter was going through a lot of emotions during this movie, with, you know, definitely stress from being a superhero, grieving the loss of Tony, dealing with his feelings for MJ, dealing with, you know, anger toward Brad or Chad.
Brad.
Something like that. Yeah, like, dealing with his, like, you know, kind of anger towards Brad, because he thought they were, like, you know,
together,
a thing. Yeah.
And then when Ned got a girlfriend and...
Oh, what's her name? Betty?
Some of them.
You know, it's just seeing kind of all that, like, young love.
Yeah, when
around
Ned was
him.
Like, oh, we're supposed to be bachelor buddies. And then so then he goes and chills with Ned. And then after that, Ned gets a girl. He just feels lonely.
Yeah, he's dealing with a lot of emotions. I'm kind of glad, you know, at the end of it, like, you know, it's Peter and MJ.
Yeah.
You know, it definitely brings back, like, the older Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, in, like, a way, but, like, modern.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was good. And I like Zendaya as an actress. She's good. So, she could be a...
I believe, I think, they're dating in real life?
Yeah, they are. They're, I believe they're, I seen an Instagram post or something like that. They're dating in real life, so that's good. That, yeah. Like, they can bring real life into, like, movie, you know? So
yeah.
That's good.
I heard, I think it was, like, a week or two ago, there was, somebody was like, oh, like, Tom Holland's, like, dating this new, like, white blonde girl or something like that. And I had, like, read it, and then a lot of, almost everybody was like, first of all, that's his cousin. Second of all,
yeah,
like, she's lesbian.
Yeah.
And I was like,
third
oh.
of all, she's dating Zendaya.
Yeah. So, I think, I don't know, I think it's kind of cool when, you know, actors who have, like, a romantic relationship in a TV show or a movie bring that into real life. As long as it's real, obviously. If they're just doing it to, like, get PR and, you know, whatever, that's kind of, like, okay. But when it's, like, a real relationship, I think that it's pretty cool. Because you can really see that you can build, you know, relationships and connections and chemistry with people while, you know, on set
being
and
an
working.
Actor, yeah. Actress. Yeah, no, that's good. I don't know, I'm glad that Spider-Man got his way in the end. But I could tell that he was going to get his way in the end anyways. Cause, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's pretty easy to see that that's what's going to go down. So I was like, oh, that's pretty good that Spider-Man gets his way. And yeah, no, I liked Ned's and whatever her name was relationship. That was kind
of
cool.
By the end
like,
of the
oh,
trip,
that's
they're like,
Night Monkey.
That was one of my favorite scenes.
Ned.
Was when he was like, oh, that's like the low rent Spider-Man. He's called
Night Monkey.
I was like,
it was so
new
good.
Favorite superhero, Night Monkey. I don't know. I think, you know, the movie really dealt with Peter's emotions and, you know, a lot of the emotions that he was feeling, although they might have been because of different things, mm-hmm. his emotions were a lot of what real teenagers nowadays feel. Mm-hmm. You know, stress of stress of school or work, you know, in some cases, you know, dealing with loss of a loved one, you know, if you have feelings for somebody, like, you know, how to handle that if, you know, the person you have feelings for, it seems like they're trying to get with somebody else or, you know, he was really dealing with a lot and it was definitely relatable to what a lot of teenagers are dealing with in real life, which I think Marvel definitely with the last few movies, but I think also just in general, they've done a really good job at making different scenarios and, you know, different actions that people have done, like kind of making it relatable to the viewers. I think Spider-Man is definitely one of the most relatable characters.
If not the most.
Yeah. At least definitely, you know, for us as he's, you know, closer to our age.
Yeah.
Rather than, I mean, Captain America is, what, 103 now? You know,
100 and dead.
Exactly.
Like, he's not even.
I mean, yeah, now
anymore.
He's like. Deceased.
Now he's most definitely dead. There is no way Captain America's alive.
Well, I mean, technically, right now.
Because it's after Endgame, and that was like a year after, wasn't it?
Well, no. Endgame technically took place in 2023.
Oh.
So right now, Captain America's probably just like crying, like on a couch or something.
Just cooling it.
Or in his, like, his
retirement.
Grief support group.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because this is, like, before Endgame.
Yeah. It's definitely after they killed Thanos by, you know, chopping off his head. But it's before the main events of Endgame.
Yeah, so it's just after the blip.
Yeah, I think.
Because they all get brought back. No, but they chopped off Thanos' head in the beginning of Endgame.
Yeah,
and then that past Thanos. Yeah, then past Thanos comes and they have to fight him. I mean, he dies, and then everyone's back to normal.
Yeah,
so
it was,
this is I thought this was after Endgame because this is the blimp is over now.
Yes,
Spider-Man's
this,
back,
is
so this is after
Endgame. Yeah, so technically, Far From Home takes place in 2023.
Yeah, so he might not be dead.
No, I mean Captain America's. Technically, right now would, you know, be his, you know, 96 or however old he is.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's still, like, Captain America, like, you know, strong super soldier, fully in that five-year period, but...
Because Spider-Man still has another movie or another two movies left that they need to make for Spider-Man.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, definitely one more. They might do a fourth, depending on how well it goes, and, you know, if Tom Holland wants to, like, continue being Spider-Man, which I'm pretty sure he's already said, like, he would do this for many, many years. So I think it would be cool if they kind of grew their relationship and, you know, I don't know. I just kind of hope that, you know, everything that involved Tony doesn't just, like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, I hope we get to, you know, kind of see Pepper also dealing with it.
Yeah, and, yeah, you know, like, Morgan, I hope his too. Family isn't, like, I hope their family's not, like, done with the MCU.
Yeah, like, I hope like, just, they're still there. The storyline doesn't just stop, like.
Yeah. Like, I hope you get to see Pepper be a mom again for longer than, like, than what you already seen. Like, I hope they have, like, their own, like, little thing.
Yeah, I feel like it would be cool to see, you know, how she's, you know, dealing with being a single mom, you know, just recently lost, you know, her husband and the father to her child. And, you know, I would think at least, you know, looking at her child and seeing, mm-hmm. you know, Tony in her, like, every day, like, how that would affect her. Mm-hmm. And then even from Morgan, too, like, you know, she definitely seemed to have a really good relationship with her dad, you know, losing him and trying to grow up with him and not really fully understanding what happened.
I wonder if they'll make her, like, a superhero.
I think so. I think she's supposed to be some sort of Iron Man.
Yeah.
I guess, like Iron Woman. I don't know. I'm not fully sure, but I mm-hmm. think. I don't know. I feel like it would be cool if they had, like, I guess not all of them have kids. But I know for the Hawkeye TV series, like the Disney Plus series, I'm pretty sure they're looking at having Hawkeye's daughter, like, kind of step up to learn how to be, like, a Hawkeye person.
Hope she's better.
Better skills. And then, obviously, you know, Tony has Morgan. Hulk doesn't have any children. Thor doesn't have any children. But, I mean, they can always find somebody to mentor that would be like a child.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, yeah, so I'm hoping that they continue to grow Peter's relationship with Morgan and even, like, Pepper, too. The only other person besides Tony that we've really seen his relationship with is Happy. And that was kind of awkward because the whole time he was suspecting that him and Aunt May were, like,
and they
like
are.
Diddling. And then at the end they were, like,
yeah, no.
He was, like, we are. And then she was, like, well.
Maybe.
And then that was
and then she awkward. Got caught lying.
Yeah. I do want to talk about the end scenes. I think one that when I was in the theater watching it really shocked everybody was J. Jonah Jameson, that whole scene.
Yeah, when he said the whole name.
That was spooky. J.K. Simmons is the actor who played
J. Jonah Jameson
in the 2000 to, I think, 2003, like 2004, Maguire. The Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans. He played J. Jonah Jameson, and they had him back as
J. Jonah Jameson,
which I'm surprised they were able to do, because, you know, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Mans were, you know, property of Sony and whatever. But I think it was really cool. I hope that he plays
like J. An Jonah Jameson, part. Like, yeah. For, like, the whole time, like, the Spider-Man Menace thing. Like, that, like, I always didn't mind the Spider-Man Menace thing. Mm-hmm. And then, but I feel like in the end, it's gonna all backfire on J. Jonah Jameson, as it always does.
I mean, yeah. Considering his whole thing is just, he's a vigilante, like, you know, he's not actually a superhero.
Wonder what he would think about Batman.
Oh, I mean, probably the same thing.
Probably worse. Batman isn't a hero, a literal visual anti.
Yeah, so I think it was cool that they brought him back, you know, at least if they don't, you know, continue his part, at least for that scene. It was cool. It was a very nice cameo. It was a funny scene. We also, you know, see that video that Mysterio somehow made, you know, exposing Spider-Man's real name. But also saying, like, you know, he killed me out of cold blood, sort of, you know, making him look like a villain. I'm wondering how that's going to affect,
Spider-Man.
You know, further Spider-Man movies and then just in general further MCU movies that might involve him. As we know, the MCU is all connected, and it's all, you know, if it takes place in New York, like, the Avengers have been there, Spider-Man has been there, like, it's all taking place in the same...
Yeah, Spider-Man's from New York.
Exactly. It's all taking place in the same world. So, I don't know. I hope that they continue that, and that it's not just, like, you know, something random they added in the post-credit scene. Also, the other scene with Nick Fury and Agent Maria Hill, when they're, like, driving and they both, like, turn into Skrulls. Mm-hmm. That was... Honestly, I did not expect that. I remember, you know, if you remember from Captain Marvel, Skrulls played a main part, and I can't remember if it was something they had said or if it was just something, you know, people after the movie had said, but they were saying, like, oh, you know, somebody is a Skrull. So I remember going into Endgame, like, oh, I wonder if it is Tony going to be a Skrull? Is, you know, this person going to be a Skrull? And, you know, kind of seeing it in this movie, it made me kind of go back and think, like,
yeah, was he a Skrull the whole at time? That time? Yeah, because you end up seeing Nick Fury on vacation, cooling it in, like,
in the
Avengers space thing or whatever. So obviously now the Avengers have contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because he was a Skrull the whole movie. Talos is the name?
Yes.
The Skrull. Talos was literally Nick Fury for that movie. And then you just see the real Nick Fury cooling it and his like time thing. And then after he gets out and he's like, get back to work, and then he starts his job again.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Yeah, I after seeing that scene, I really wondered. I was like, how long has
that
Talos been Nick Fury?
Yeah, because
it technically could have been, you know,
really
throughout the
time.
Whole MCU. It could have been right after, you know, Captain Marvel took place in, 1995? Technically, he could have taken the place of Nick Fury and,
Nick Fury,
it's been him the whole time. It could have just been for, you know, this movie.
Yeah, I hope that gets revealed.
Yeah, I kind of hope we get to see more of the Skrulls and
I really like Talos. Like, Talos as a character is pretty, he's cool.
He was
He's funny, but he's also serious when he needs to be. He's the man. I like Talos.
Yeah,
he's my favorite Skrull.
I know none of the others' names.
The other, girl that's
I can't remember what her name was.
I don't know, but she's not as important as Talos.
No, I think that's his wife.
Yeah, or something. Well, then in that case, then she's really important because the whole time he was there, it was just to get his family back.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I don't know. I kind of hope we get to see more of them. And I don't know. I kind of want to know how long he was playing the part of Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this movie was very trippy. Definitely played with your head. Almost on a kind of psychological thriller sort of way. Obviously, you know, in the end, I wouldn't consider it a psychological thriller.
Definitely.
But it had those parts.
Yeah. It's most definitely not a thriller. It's like your casual Marvel
superhero
movie,
action.
Has your comedy. Action comedy.
Yeah. So, and I think it's very different for the MCU. And I liked it, personally.
Yeah, it was great.
So I guess before we end off, would you recommend this movie to others?
Yeah, I would recommend it. I mean, you can't go wrong with watching it. Like, it's actually, it's a good movie. I don't know anyone that doesn't like it. But no, but, it's actually, it's really good. It gets you thinking. It's a relatable movie. It has a lot of plot twists. So don't get too comfortable when you're watching it, because it has, a lot of plot twists and stuff. So, I don't know, it's an all-around really good movie. Marvel was really creative with this movie.
If you were to go into this movie not really seeing any other Marvel movies, or not being as, devoted to the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe as, you think you would be... You wouldn't really understand?
No, you'd be so confused.
Okay.
The only part I think you would understand is the Spider-Man aspect, because everyone knows what Spider-Man's about.
Okay.
But, seeing the Skrulls and, Nick Fury and, I don't know, Mysterio playing mind games on Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I mean, on Peter Parker against Tony Stark, Happy. I feel like in the end you would just get confused over a bunch of things, but you would understand the main part of, Spider-Man.
If you would recommend a few movies for people to watch before watching this one for them to understand, which ones would you recommend people to watch?
Endgame, Infinity War, Captain Marvel, Spider-Man Homecoming.
It was, okay. So, yeah, so I think we're pretty much going to end off here. I also would recommend this movie. I think it was made really well. It was written really well. It was definitely different, but didn't stray too far from past movies, and I'm guessing what's going to be coming in the future. So I would definitely recommend it. I also think that you should probably watch definitely Endgame, Infinity War, Captain Marvel, Homecoming, and I think probably just one of the Iron Man movies.
Just so you know.
Just so you know more of the character.
I was
going to
say Iron Man, but my thing was, like, I was like, that Iron Man isn't a mentor.
Oh, no, Spider-Man. Definitely not.
So I'd be
no.
like, you'd just be watching past Iron Man, which also gives a good history. But
Yeah, I think you should definitely, I mean, if you have the time and if you have them on DVD or on Netflix, I mean, watch the whole.
They have Captain Marvel on Netflix, don't they?
I'm not sure.
Oh, no.
I know they
have
Homecoming.
Infinity War.
Yes.
I was also going to say watch Infinity War.
You did.
Because, oh, I did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. I think, if you can, honestly, watch the whole, you know, whole cinematic universe up to now. They're all great movies. Well,
no, not all of them.
90% of them are great movies.
Yeah.
There was a few that are.
Well, everything from the MCU is good. Not like.
Well, I mean.
Not like the ones before, like the old Hulk. That's not even MCU.
So I think we're just going to pretty much end it off here. Thank you guys for, you know, tuning in and listening. Thank you to Jacob for, you know, coming on and talking about it. I hope you guys enjoyed it.